Welcome to the CGMA Magazine podcast series, a service of the American Institute of CPAs and the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants. This series features discussions with chartered global management accountants and other experts about the topics, trends, and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession. Welcome to the CGMA Magazine podcast series. I'm Editorial Director Jack Hagel. In this episode, we're joined by Ash Noah, the Vice President of External Relations for Management Accounting at the American Institute of CPAs. Before joining the AICPA in 2012, Ash served as CFO of the International Unit of TNT Express, where he led finance teams in 45 countries. Ash is a CPA who also holds the CGMA designation, and he's a fellow of the Chartered Institute of Management Accountants. He spoke with CGMA Magazine's senior editor Neil Motto about the changing role of the finance function and why it's vital for CFOs to focus on talent development. Here's Neil.
Ash, thank you for joining us today.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Neil.
In presentations, I've heard you use a phrase, I think it's from a Unilever executive, about today's business environment being described as VUCA, V-U-C-A. What is VUCA?
So it's really a military term, which is used in situations which are volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And that's what we face today in the business world. We just don't know what's around the corner. And so you have to be so much more agile and so much more ready to face what's coming around the corner. The CEO of Aon Hewitt, who insures billions of dollars of risk around the world, said he's never seen risks at the levels they're at. And not only is he talking about the level of risks, but he was also talking about the rate at which the risks are arising. Are at the highest. So the levels of uncertainty also pose a significant opportunity for finance in that finance is faced with an unprecedented level of opportunity with these unprecedented levels of risk. So we need to recognize it as a profession, as professionals, that finance can add significant value in this VUCA environment.
Tied to that uncertainty, you've spoken about average tenure of companies in the S&P 500. How has it changed over the years, and what does it mean for finance and their role?
Clayton Christensen, a Harvard business professor, did some analysis, and he found out that the tenure of an S&P 500 company has gone from 50 years to under 20. So there's a significant drop in the life of an S&P company. And the implications really are around the business model and how technology is impacting business models. And the traditional business models are challenged, and technology-enabled, knowledge-enabled, IP-enabled businesses are what are thriving.
And what does that mean for finance?
So finance professionals really need to change their traditional approach from being just accountants and providers of information, and what used to be called navigators. They need to be able to pilot the plane. They need to be able to be business partners and walk alongside their CEOs and be able to provide those insights and engage in strategic decision making that allows an entity to remain sustainable.
So why should companies, and I guess finance, maybe put more emphasis on measuring and demonstrating the non-financial value of their businesses?
It's really related to understanding your business. So every financial number on a report is a result of some underlying drivers. And it's really important for finance to understand those value drivers, those business drivers. To be able to understand your business drivers, you need to understand your business and your business model and your customers and the environment. So the need for finance is really to go beyond the numbers and to get to the underlying story and be able to give insights to the business so that they can add value and so that they can be sustainable.
So is this kind of is this change of emphasis? Is it fair to call it a finance transformation?
Yeah, many companies, many organizations approach this as finance transformation or even business transformation. What is required is for finance to go beyond their traditional role of being the technical experts and actually be business experts. So it's not enough just to provide information which is critical to running the business, but also be engaged in decision making in all aspects of the organization. So it requires finance to join the dots across the organization. It requires finance to enable integrated thinking and integrated decision making from the siloed approach that has been adopted in the past. So it is a significant change with regards to the new skills and competencies that are required. So that's why it's almost a transformation. It's not just an incremental change, but it's a paradigm shift from being a controller to being a partner, whilst remaining in that solid foundation of your technical skills, remaining in your controllership role, not giving that up, but taking on the additional facets that we've been talking about, understanding the business, helping strategic business decision making, and providing those insights. So one thing to clarify is finance transformation is not new. The fact is that the need for finance transformation has accelerated over the last few years. Finance transformation is something that many organizations have been for a number of years. The move from in-house accounting transactional services to shared services happened 15 years ago. That was a transformation. To send out a critical part, the transactional control, to an external, be it captive or be it outsourced, was a significant move. And many benefits were achieved through that transformation. The kind of transformation we're looking at today is more in the retained organization. So now you've now automated a lot of your processes, you've outsourced or you have put them into shared services. And now in the retained organizations, you're trying to build up skills and competencies which are really in demand because of the VUCA situation we talked about earlier on. So when you look at employers, they're all on a continuum. Some are ahead in terms of, you know, they are looking at business partnering more seriously. There are some organizations that are on programs such as trusted business advisory programs. They have structured learning around it. And some organizations are doing it without giving it a label. But it is a fact that every CFO I speak to, every finance leader I've visited, can agree that everyone's on a journey of finance transformation. And everybody does agree, and everybody recognizes the need for this transformation.
So everyone agrees that finance transformation should be taking place. The ones who maybe have grasped it earlier or are farther along, what advantages specifically do these companies have?
IBM actually started a study of 340-odd companies, and they've been tracking them since 2004. And they've been identifying companies that are doing much better than their peers. And there's a group of about 70 companies that they have identified as performance integrators. And the results from 2004 through to 2008 are astounding. These companies grew not once, not twice, but 20 times better and more than their peers in their EBITDA growth. So they clearly join the dots between the companies that are engaging in business partnering and those companies that are actually producing the results were the same. And these results, as I said, are significantly higher than their peers. And from 2008, they've continued to track them through the upturn. So 2008 was the big crash, and then the upturn came from 2008 until 2012. They continue to track these companies, and they found another group within this group of performance integrators, and they're not now calling them performance accelerators. So that these group of companies have gone beyond even the small peer group of 70 companies. And the key criteria that distinguishes this subset is that there is a concentrated and integrated effort by finance to be connected to the business, to be connected with strategy, and not just to be connected with strategy development, but in strategy implementation. And that's what differentiates this group. So when you have finance engaging in business partnering, engaging in strategy, and engaging in the implementation of strategy, it does produce significantly better results for the company.
So going to change gears just a little bit, talk about the finance function of the future.
Yeah.
What does that look like to you? What does the role of the CFO, the role of the controller look like in the future?
So in the 2000s, KPMG came up with a report that said the CFO's role will not exist in 10 years' time. And they were really ahead of their times. They were looking at the transformation that was happening then, with what I talked about, the whole outsourcing and the transactional outsourcing. And what they were identifying was that finance will become more and more aligned with operations. And they were almost seeing the CFO's and the COO's role merging. And that's what we continue to see. Yes, the finance function still exists, but the role of finance has changed significantly. The role is getting wider and the role is getting deeper. The depth is coming in, the demand for the depth is coming in from having greater technical expertise in particular areas. If you look at pensions or you look at intangible assets. We talked about the non-financial indicators, and these non-financial indicators, we said, were to do with business drivers. And a lot of these non-financial indicators are an understanding of these business drivers that change your value. And intangible value or intangible assets in an organization are taking on enormous proportions. So over the last 35 years, the equation has flipped. There's an organization called Ocean Tomo, and they've been tracking the value of intangible assets in a balance sheet. And what they have shown is in the S&P 500, in the 1970s, this number was 20% intangible, 80% tangible. So tangible is something that you can touch, feel, see, count, which the accountants are very happy with. But come 2010, this equation flips, and you actually have 80% of your financial value, of your enterprise value, in intangible assets, and they're not even in the balance sheet. So the balance sheet only represents 20% of the market valuation of this company, and 80% is non-financial and intangible. So this poses a significant challenge both to enterprises to understand what is really driving value. And there are several non-financial and intangible items that drive value. So for example, in one of our launch reports for CGMA, we launched it with a report called Rebooting Business. This report clearly identified some of these intangibles that have value. And the CEOs surveyed were talking about examples such as customer relationships. There's significant value in customer relationships. That's where your revenue comes from. There's significant value in employer relationships. So your human capital has significant value, but it's not in the balance sheet. So how does finance grapple with this gap between the tangible and intangible? And how can finance help the businesses understand value creation in intangible assets? So finance really needs to understand IP. They need to understand the value of the processes, the value of strategy, the value of the company being able to execute a strategy. All this actually adds value. But finance needs to understand this firstly, and then be able to translate this into terms which the business can understand. And usually that requires metrics. And they're not necessarily financial metrics, but non-financial metrics.
Did you ever think getting started in finance that one part of a CFO's role would be overseeing HR, talent management? It seems the antithesis of a finance role.
I would agree, Neil. 20 years ago, a CFO was very much the financial guru of the company. A typical CFO would not be thinking about HR issues, talent retention, talent development, talent acquisition. All these challenges have come about in the recent past. And it is absolutely critical for a CFO to build a team that will help him transform finance. This is not just a leader, a CFO, being able to achieve a transformation. He has to go on a journey where he takes his whole team along with him. And so this is another aspect, and people call this a soft skill, but really it's a pretty hard skill. And you need these skills to be able to develop your team, to be able to identify talent that is required. And as we talked, there are new skills and competencies required in this VUCA environment. And so you need to be able to identify people who have this talent or develop that talent in the team that you have. It's absolutely critical to take your whole team on this journey, and you have to become a HR manager, a HR person, as well as a CFO. GE, for example, a long time ago recognized that every functional director also has to be a HR director. So Jeff Immelt actually required his direct reports to be HR managers and functional managers.
What is the role of a competency framework in developing that talent and creating a path for the finance staff?
It is essential, Neil, isn't it, to have a framework which identifies skills and competencies of various roles at various levels within a finance organization. Many finance organizations today have a comprehensive competency framework, but many don't. Many are still operating on the old job roles and job descriptions methodology, whereas what is emerging is a need at every level of organization to recognize the various skills and competencies that are required. Now, a lot of these competencies are not just learned by reading, studying, and going on courses, but they are developed experientially, which means unless a company recognizes a skill set that is required and can only be acquired experientially, just sending them on study courses or on conferences, etc., doesn't do it. They have to combine the educational theory along with an experiential experience on the job. And when they have that combination, that's when competencies are developed. So unless you have a competency framework, unless you have identified the particular competencies that are required, you really don't go after it in an intelligent and organized manner. So competency frameworks, identifying competencies and skills required for job levels in various roles is absolutely key to produce a well-rounded finance professional who will deliver what the company needs.
And it seems that talent, everywhere we read, every study, every survey, CFOs are concerned about finding talent. It seems like they also need to be concerned about developing the talent they have.
Oh, absolutely agree, Neil. What's happened is, as I said before, finance has delivered transformation in the area of transactional excellence, process excellence. Costs have been reduced. Finance cost as a percentage of revenue has come down across the board. But what hasn't happened is a reinvestment out of that cost saving into talent development. And those companies that have done it have been successful because what they have now created is a finance team that is more capable of handling the retained organization and its responsibilities. Because they do become different the minute you outsource transactional stuff. You now have a complement of staff who have to operate at a higher level. And to operate at that higher level, you need these additional skills and competencies. So those companies who have reinvested a part of the savings from their transactional and process excellences have actually made more progress in finance transformation.
Ash, this has been excellent. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Neil. It was great being here.
Thanks for joining us today. For more content on the changing role of finance, please visit cgmamagazine.org. This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.